Chapter 5. Citizenship and Government in a Democracy. Why it Matters. As citizens, we are free to exercise our rights. In return, we are expected to fulfill certain duties and responsibilities. By doing so, we help ensure that our government will be effective in serving our needs and protecting our rights. How are volunteers in your community exercising their responsibilities? Big Ideas. Section 1. Duties and Responsibilities. For government to be effective, citizens must fulfill their civic duties and responsibilities. As American citizens, we enjoy many rights under our system of government. Along with those rights, we also share many responsibilities. These responsibilities help protect our rights. Section 2. Citizens and the Community. Citizen participation is essential to the foundation and preservation of the U.S. political system. Good citizenship does not depend on each of us doing only what we are required to do by law. The American ideal of citizenship has always stressed each citizen's responsibility to participate in his or her community. Section 1. Duties and Responsibilities. Real World Civics. Kirk Bauer is no stranger to a challenge. As a young soldier in Vietnam in 1969, Bauer lost his leg to a grenade blast. Today, after years of surgeries and rehabilitation, Bauer is the executive director of Disabled Sports USA, an organization dedicated to providing sports rehabilitation to persons with permanent disabilities. Because Bauer was introduced to skiing by other Vietnam veterans, he has focused his energy on providing rehabilitation opportunities for veterans injured in conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. Duties of Citizens. Main Idea. The privilege of U.S. citizenship brings with it certain duties and responsibilities. Civics and you. Are you a good citizen? What are the duties and the responsibilities of citizenship? Read on to find out why American citizens have a responsibility to their communities, the environment, and the law. What comes to mind when you hear the word community? Do you think of your neighborhood or perhaps your town? Actually, each of us belongs to many communities. Our school or workplace, our church, synagogue, or mosque, our state, and our country. On the broadest level, we are also members of the global or worldwide community, becoming more connected than ever before with people around the world. We all play a part in making our communities safe and successful. All of us have certain responsibilities to fulfill. Responsibilities are things we should do. They are obligations that we fulfill voluntarily. As American citizens, we also have legal duties that we are required to perform. Duties are things that we are required to do. National, state, and local governments require Americans to perform certain duties established by laws. If we fail to perform them, we are subject to legal penalties such as fines or imprisonment. Some countries require much from their citizens. In some countries, for example, citizens must serve in the armed forces for a period of time each year. The United States government asks much less of its citizens than many other countries. Nonetheless, the government does require its citizens to perform the following duties. Obey laws. This is a citizen's most important duty. Our laws are designed for specific purposes: to help people get along, to prevent accidents, to see that resources are used fairly, and so on. If we do not obey the law, then communities cannot maintain order or protect our health, safety, and property. Pay taxes. Another duty of citizens is to pay taxes. Taxes provide most of the money government needs to keep functioning. Without taxes, the federal government could not pay its employees, maintain armed forces to defend the country, and help those in need. Your local community probably could not hire police or firefighters, and your state could not pave roads or maintain prisons. The federal government and some states and cities collect income or earnings in the form of taxes, a percentage of what people earn. Most states and some cities collect taxes on the sale of goods and services. Your school district collects taxes on the residential and commercial property within the district. Defend the nation. Under the law, men aged 18 to 25 are required to register with the government in case the country needs to draft or call up men for military service. Since the end of the Vietnam War, there has been no draft, and America's military has been made up of volunteers. The draft is typically used only in the event of war or extreme national emergency. Serve in court. The Constitution guarantees the right to a trial by jury. Every adult citizen must be prepared to serve on a jury. People can be excused from jury duty if they have a valid reason, but service is usually rewarding. People involved in court cases depend on their fellow citizens to reach a fair verdict. Another duty of citizens is to serve as witnesses at a trial if called to do so. Attend school. All young people have access to free public schools, and in most states are required to attend school until the age of 16. This benefits both you and the government because you need knowledge and skills to be a good citizen. In school, you not only gain an understanding of history, government, and other important subjects, but you also learn to think through problems, to form opinions, and to express your views clearly. Reading check, explaining. Why must all citizens pay taxes? Civic responsibilities. Main idea. The voluntary responsibilities of U.S. citizens include participating in the political process and being informed. Civics and you. As a citizen, what do you think is your most important responsibility? Read to find out what voluntary actions are part of good citizenship. Be informed. Keep in mind that government decisions affect your life. The state legislature, for example, might pass a law changing the rate of sales tax you pay. Your school board might vote to start the school day earlier. Your town council might set aside funds for a new recreation center. You have a responsibility to know what the government is doing so that you can voice your opinions on matters about which you feel strongly. Speak up and vote. Our government is based on the principle of consent of the governed. This means that people are the source of all governmental power. That is, government exists to serve you. If you expect public officials to act in your interests, you can make your concerns known by contacting your elected representatives, working for a particular cause, or above all, by voting. Voting is one of American citizens' most important responsibilities. By electing leaders and voting on proposed measures, Americans give their consent to the government. As former President Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "The ultimate rulers of our democracy are not a president and senators and congressmen and government officials, but the voters of this country." Franklin D. Roosevelt, Address at Marietta. In the United States today, all citizens of at least 18 years of age have the right to vote. Each election day, citizens have the chance to shape the future of our communities, states, and nation by voting. Thoughtful voters study the candidates and issues carefully before marking their ballots. They also regularly check on what their elected leaders are doing. If an official's performance falls short, it is up to the voters to choose someone else in the next election. Voting responsibility ensures that leadership is changed in a peaceful and orderly manner. Respect others' rights. In order for you to enjoy your rights, you have a responsibility to respect the rights of others. For example, if you own a dog, you have an obligation to keep it from becoming a nuisance to your neighbors. In a democratic society like ours, with such a diverse population, it is especially important to respect the civil liberties of others. Although you may disagree with people or disapprove of their lifestyles, they have an equal right to their beliefs and practices. Respecting and accepting others, regardless of their beliefs, practices, or differences, is called tolerance. Treating others politely and respectfully is thus part of being a good citizen. Many of our laws encourage people to respect each other's rights. You also have a responsibility to respect public and private property. Some people might claim that no one gets hurt when they litter in a park or paint graffiti on a school wall, yet such public property belongs to us all, and we all pay if it is damaged. Contribute to the common good. Responsible citizens show concern for others as well as for themselves. They are willing to give time, effort, and money to improve community life for all. The members of a community must be actively concerned with promoting the health and welfare of every one of its members, so that each member can contribute to the common good, or the things that benefit all members of the community. For example, everyone benefits from having safe streets, good schools, and a clean environment. Think about what your community would be like if no one donated to charities, volunteered in after-school programs, or lent a hand at the local health clinic. What if no one ever spoke out about community problems? Communities and governments need people to participate. Reading check, explaining. Why is being informed about your government an important responsibility? Financial literacy. Federal revenues and expenditures. The only constants in life are death and taxes. Perhaps you have heard someone utter that line. At the federal level, there are three major taxes: the individual income tax, the corporate income tax, and the Social Security tax. Many people do not know how their tax dollars are being used. Where does the money go? Where your tax dollars go. Social Security, 21.1%. National Defense, 17.2%. Income Security, 14%. Medicare, 12%. Health Benefits, 10.4%. Net Interest, 7.2%. Education and Other Health Services, 3.9%. Other, 14.2%. Where your tax dollars come from. Individual income taxes, 45.4%. Corporate income taxes, 11.5%. Other taxes, 3.8%. Social Security taxes, other retirement, insurance, 39.3%. Section 2. Citizens and the Community. Real-World Civics. The Dragon Slayers are team members of the Aniak Volunteer Fire Department in Alaska. All members must undergo extensive training. In addition to firefighting, the teens are trained as medics. Contributing to their tiny community, located near Anchorage, is uppermost in the minds of these young people. All volunteers must vow to abstain from drugs and alcohol and maintain passing grades in school. Citizen Involvement. Main Idea. By volunteering, we make our communities better places to live, gain new opportunities to solve problems, and learn new things. Civics and You. Have you volunteered to help out at school or in your community? Read on to find out why it's important for citizens to volunteer. Why do volunteers such as the Dragon Slayers do so much work without pay? John Gaddis, a retired steam fitter who volunteers in an anti-gang neighborhood patrol, explains his reason. Volunteer work brings real change, change you can be a part of, change you can see with your own eyes. John Gaddis, as quoted in America's Voluntary Spirit. Every year, more than half of all Americans do volunteer work to help make their communities better places to live. A community is a group of people who share the same interests and concerns. These volunteers include more than 14 million students in grades 6 through 12. Without the efforts of so many private citizens, many pressing social needs simply would not be met. In the United States, federal, state, and local government provides many different services. We rely on government for everything from local police protection to national defense, from collecting household trash to ensuring clean water and air nationwide. Citizens, though, also share responsibility for meeting community needs. The government, after all, has limited resources. In addition, governments are bureaucracies, complex systems with many departments, many rules, and many people in the chain of command. Because of this, government cannot always respond quickly or efficiently to problems. In many cases, the best solutions come from private citizens. Good citizens are concerned about the welfare, the health, prosperity, and happiness of all members of the community. In 1961, President John F. Kennedy issued a challenge. Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. President George W. Bush in 2005 noted that we can show the world the true values of America through the gathering momentum of a million acts of responsibility and decency and service. Donating time and money. People help their communities in many ways. Working independently or as part of volunteer groups, both large and small. Neighbors might gather to spend a Saturday cleaning up a highway or preparing holiday baskets for needy families. Retirees mentor school children, record books for the blind, and lead museum tours. You and your fellow students might visit nursing home patients, volunteer in an animal shelter, or collect canned goods for a local food pantry. Giving your time to work on community projects is the core of volunteerism, the practice of offering your time and services to others without payment. However, Americans may also support worthy causes by contributing money. Annually, individual Americans give more than $250 billion to charity. Much of this money comes from small donations by average citizens. The typical American donates about 2%, or portion of an amount in hundredths, of his or her income to charity. Reading check, defining, what is volunteerism? Volunteers in Action. Main Idea. Young people can make a difference by volunteering. Civics and You. Is it okay to want some benefits for yourself from volunteering? Think about this question as you read. Responsible citizens are concerned about the welfare of the community as a whole. They may be concerned about the environment or surroundings of the community or about the quality of life. Safeguarding these things may require government action. It could mean cleaning up a toxic waste dump that is polluting the water, adding more police officers to combat drug trafficking, or building more parks. Having concern for our communities is not enough, however. Our concern must be supported by our action. No community or government has the money or resources to provide for the welfare of all of its people or to solve all of its problems. It counts on volunteers to help. Community involvement. Community involvement tends to be rooted in individual action and informal groups. People are more likely to participate when they feel a connection to a cause or know others involved. Thus, they join their neighborhood watch or become active at their child's school. They reach out to the community through their religious congregations, or they work through service clubs such as the Lions and Kiwanis. Some people, however, volunteer through more formal channels. Charitable organizations. More than 1 million charities are officially registered or recorded with the federal government. Many are small and locally based. These organizations often work on one or two projects, such as helping the victims of domestic or home abuse or preserving a historic building. Other organizations are large national charities serving millions of people. School-based programs. More than half of all United States middle and high schools now arrange community service for students in grades 6 through 12. Several hundred school districts in various states even require it. In Atlanta, Chicago, and the entire state of Maryland, for example, high school students must volunteer a set number of hours to earn a graduation diploma. National service programs. During his inaugural address in 1961, President John F. Kennedy challenged Americans to work together to fight poverty, disease, and war in the poorest corners of the world. Less than 2 months later, Kennedy signed an executive order establishing the Peace Corps. Since that time, the Peace Corps has sent more than 180,000 Americans to 138 countries, where they advise farmers, teach children and young adults, help start small businesses, and fight the spread of AIDS. AmeriCorps. Here in the United States, AmeriCorps members help meet the nation's needs in education, public safety, health, and the environment. More than 50,000 Americans participate each year in AmeriCorps. In return for a year of full-time service, organization members receive an allowance to live on and money to help pay for college. Senior Corps. The Senior Corps provides volunteer opportunities to Americans aged 55 or older. These senior citizens take part in three main programs. Foster grandparents work one-on-one with children with special needs. Senior companions help other seniors meet their daily needs while living independently in their own homes. The Retired and Senior Volunteer Program provides seniors with volunteer opportunities in their communities. USA Freedom Corps. On January 29, 2002, in his annual or yearly State of the Union address, President Bush asked Americans to join together and help, saying, "If you aren't sure how to help, I've got a good place to start." Bush described a new program called USA Freedom Corps. The program brings together the Peace Corps, AmeriCorps, and Senior Corps. Freedom Corps was designed to focus on three areas of need: responding to national emergencies, rebuilding our communities, and extending American compassion throughout the world. Voluntary spirit. Americans have a long history of volunteering. When Alexis de Tocqueville, a French political writer, visited America in the 1830s, he was amazed to see citizens pitching in to solve community problems rather than relying on the government. He explained it as self-interest rightly understood. In other words, by banding together to serve the community, we really serve ourselves. For example, more than 50,000 Americans participate each year in AmeriCorps. Most work through local and national organizations such as Habitat for Humanity. Reading check. Identifying. What organization provides opportunities for volunteers 55 years of age or older? Analyzing primary sources. Active citizenship. Democracy in America. In Democracy in America, Alexis de Tocqueville vividly described 19th century American life, politics, and morals. The Americans, on the other hand, are fond of explaining almost all the actions of their lives by the principle of self-interest rightly understood. They show with complacency how an enlightened regard for themselves constantly prompts them to assist one another and inclines them willingly to sacrifice a portion of their time and property to the welfare of the state. In this respect, I think they frequently fail to do themselves justice, for in the United States, as well as elsewhere, people are sometimes seen to give way to those disinterested and spontaneous impulses that are natural to man. but the Americans seldom admit that they yield to emotions of this kind. They are more anxious to do honor to their philosophy than to themselves. Alexis de Tocqueville, Democracy in America. The Spirit of Liberty. In his essay, The Spirit of Liberty, United States Circuit Court Judge Learned Hand promoted the ideal of ethical and committed citizens. What do we mean when we say that first of all we seek liberty? I often wonder whether we do not rest our hopes too much upon constitutions, upon laws, and upon courts. These are false hopes. Believe me, they are false hopes. Liberty lies in the hearts of men and women. When it dies there, no constitution, no law, no court can save it. No constitution, no law, no court can even do much to help it. And what is this liberty which must lie in the hearts of men and women? It is not the ruthless, the unbridled will. It is not freedom to do as one likes. That is the denial of liberty, and leads straight to its overthrow. A society in which men recognize no check upon their freedom soon becomes a society where freedom is the possession of only a savage few, as we have learned to our sorrow. Judge Learned Hand, The Spirit of Liberty. The right to vote. Many groups struggled to win the right to vote. Several amendments to the U.S. Constitution deal with suffrage. The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. 15th Amendment, 1870. The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. 19th Amendment, 1920. The right of citizens of the United States to vote in any primary or other election shall not be denied or abridged by reason of failure to pay any poll tax or other tax. 24th Amendment, 1964. The right of citizens of the United States who are 18 years of age or older to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of age. 26th Amendment, 1971. Time reports. A nation of givers. Through charities, churches, and foundations, Americans put their money where their cause is. Every year, nearly two-thirds of all Americans donate money to charity. Some citizens contribute only a few dollars, while others give away millions. On average, each American contributes $1,894. All those donations add up. Americans donated a total of $248.5 billion to U.S. charities in 2004. Of this amount, about a third went to religious groups. Less than 10% was donated to organizations that directly help the poor. See Donation Nation at right. So why is the U.S. the most generous nation on earth? Its tax code encourages private giving in place of spending more public money on social programs. But tax breaks can't account for all the generosity. The deduction for charitable giving cost the government $40 billion in 2004. Americans gave away more than six times that amount. The top three. The largest total philanthropic gifts by individuals in 2004. $3.35 billion, Bill and Melinda Gates. The Microsoft chairman and his wife's pledge to the Gates Foundation, which committed more than $1 billion to global health alone in 2004, increased its endowment to nearly $32 billion, by far the largest in the world. $2.55 billion, Susan T. Buffett. The wife of Berkshire Hathaway founder Warren Buffett left 31,707 shares of company stock, largely to her foundation dedicated to college scholarships and medical research. $550 million, John M. Templeton. The former investor pledged the money to his foundation to investigate the relationship among science, religion, and health. Generosity's deep roots. Wealthy Americans have been creating ways to give away their time and money for generations. 1873, Johns Hopkins, 1795 to 1873, a railroad investor and merchant, leaves $7 million to found a university and a hospital. 1907, Margaret Olivia Slocum Sage, 1828 to 1918, a banking heiress, creates the Russell Sage Foundation, which offers grants to improve living conditions. Her total gift is estimated at $80 million. 1911, Andrew Carnegie, 1835 to 1919, a Scottish-born steel baron, defines charity as a moral imperative and gives away more than $350 million in his lifetime through the Carnegie Corporation. 1913. John D. Rockefeller, 1839 to 1937, is the founder of Standard Oil and the richest man of his time. His $450 million in contributions to public health through the Rockefeller Foundation sets a precedent for the Gates Foundation. 1919. Madam C.J. Walker, 1867 to 1919, an African-American self-made millionaire, supports social and educational institutions with the profits from her hair care and cosmetics business. 1936, Henry Ford, 1863 to 1947, the automotive pioneer, establishes the Ford Foundation in Dearborn, Michigan, with $25,000. Now a nationwide force, it has more than $11 billion in assets. 1977, John D., 1897 to 1978, and Catherine T. MacArthur, 1909 to 1981, start their namesake foundation with a vast wealth from his insurance company, Bankers Life. Today, the foundation's assets are estimated at $5 billion. Star power. Big names are changing the face of philanthropy. Former presidents and rivals George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton formed an unlikely partnership that turned into a friendship, raising millions after the Asian tsunami and the devastating hurricanes in the U.S. The Bono Effect. Since 2001, development aid for poor nations has increased from $67 billion to $80 billion and is projected to rise 60% by 2010. Many European countries are committed to giving 0.7% of their gross domestic product for aid. The U.S. currently gives only 0.1%.